Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
Voucher Goo Podcast. Now watch a thon of Rassilon. Tony and Joe, you are ordered to walk every doctor who serial and discuss them all.
Today we're going to be talking about the fourth serial of the fourth season of Doctor Who, The Highlanders, which is completely missing. There was four episodes that aired from December 17th, 1966 to January 7th, 1967.
True facts!
And today we're joined by special guests. Plural.
Both of them.
I think this is the first time we've had more than one guest on other than the big Christmas,
the Christmas
debacle.
Debacle's a good word for it.
Debauchery. It's Seamus, a.k.a. Thinking in Gallifreyan on Tumblr, and Marta. Do you have a Tumblr?
I didn't use my Tumblr, so that's just fine. Like that.
Just Marta?
Yeah, that's okay.
Marta the Magnificent. Marta the Martian.
First off, tell us a little bit about yourself. And secondly, tell us what you guys know about, like, Doctor Who. How much, like, Doctor Who exposure you have.
I am Seamus the Red. I'm Seamus. I'm Seamus, and I come from Scotland. And I was enthusiastic about joining this podcast because it's the Highlanders. I thought it would be appropriate. I have been watching Doctor Who since 2004, which, you'll note, Doctor Who wasn't actually on then. I was just watching old stuff then. And then it came back. When did you start watching?
I started watching 6 years ago, possibly.
I think you've seen more than me.
Probably, yeah. I've just not seen some of Tom Baker stuff. There's so much Tom Baker you can watch.
when I started watching it, there was reruns on BBC at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they were showing all the old stuff. They started with John Pertwee, obviously, because, you know, obviously you start, you know, third of the way in. Then it got to Tom Baker, and they sort of skipped the middle of Tom Baker. They showed the early Tom Baker episodes, then they skipped to Romana 2 and just went on from there. Then I saw all of Peter Davison's run, so I thought that Peter Davison had a much longer run than Tom Baker. Initially, I sorted that out fairly quickly. And then, you know, yeah, from there I was hooked. I particularly identified with Sylvester McCoy for, you know, obvious reasons. The accent. Well, no, not, he's got a bit of a weird accent, though. Actually, no, I've got a bit of a weird accent, too. So, yes, the accent.
So how much, like, two have you guys seen?
I have not seen that much. I've seen more recently. My first Doctor was John Pertwee, so.
Did you go back and watch anyone?
Yeah, I got some DVDs from the black and white era. So I've got a few William Hartnell stuff, and then some of Patrick Troughton stuff. So, definitely seen Invasion. Doing with the Cybermen, yep, definitely that one. And part of the War Games, possibly the first half. And some other ones, but not very much. I'm just more familiar with him by hearing about him more than actually seeing him. So I feel like I have seen more than I have, because I know what happens in all the episodes broadly, in a vague sort of way.
Is this your first reconstruction or missing serial? Or
yes.
How did you guys watch this? Was it a reconstruction, or did you just do audio only?
You found us out.
Yeah, we watched the reconstruction.
You found a reconstruction for us, and yeah, that was the first reconstruction. No, that's not, because Invasion is partly reconstructed, isn't it?
I'm not sure, I don't think we've gotten to that one yet, have we?
It's the one where the BBC got some animators to do flash animations for the missing parts.
We've seen those on The Reign of Terror, and what's the other one? Oh, The Tenth Planet.
Yeah, I remember that one too.
That one had really good animation. Reign of Terror. We watched two reconstructions. The first one was terrible, and like the audio was so bad, like we're like, I don't know what just happened. So we had to like read a summary, and then we found a much better one that also had subtitles, which is very helpful.
Was it subtitles or describing what the action was? Because we found one.
Oh, both. So
which,
it had the thing, and then it also
needed.
Had subtitles. Oh, I didn't do the thing I normally do.
What's that?
Because I always liked the titles for the episodes, and they've stopped having titles for the individual episodes. So I've been making up my own.
I didn't do that this time.
The Highlanders is just going to be the Highlanders episode one. Highlanders episode 2 is going to be The Quickening. And then after that, I don't know. Did any of the Highlanders sequels have subtitles? I think there's like the Highlanders 2000 or something. I don't.
I've never seen a single Highlanders movie.
I've seen the end of one, I think.
The first one's great. The second one makes no sense in context with the first one. Like, suddenly they're aliens. I don't know. It's weird and I don't care for it.
Sean Connery's definitely an alien.
I buy that.
But anyway,
let's talk about
the Doctor Who episode of Highlanders.
Yeah, let's talk about the Highlanders and not Highlander. There can be only one. But there's two. So what do? The Highlander and the Highlanders are going to have to go fight each other. And then, no? Okay. Well, apparently this one already lost because it's missing.
It went into hiding.
So
Team TARDIS lands.
Well, actually, no. We start with a battle that is so exciting when it doesn't exist. Just you hear noises.
Oh, which, by the way, this is apparently the last pure historical, which makes me very sad.
Yeah.
Because I think there should be more of them.
Aliens from here on out.
I think there's another one in the 80s.
There's Black Orchid. We've read that it's the last before Black Orchid, isn't it?
That's the next historical is Black Orchid in 1982.
Which is a Fifth Doctor story.
That is a long gap.
And then I don't think there have been any purely historical ones in the televised series since then. Not even the Sarah Jane Adventures had one. You know.
There's always got to be an alien in there now.
Yeah.
There was one episode of Torchwood where there wasn't aliens.
Oh, that was the best episode of Torchwood.
It was people, and I was so pleased.
And it was messed up.
Like, the whole episode, they're like, is it aliens? What alien is it?
Spoil the entire episode.
I am going to spoil the episode. But, like, is it this alien? Is it this alien that we've met before? No.
It's just people.
Really messed up people that eat other people.
Oh, that one.
Countryside.
That is the one. I was so pleased because I had been getting a little tired of, it's an alien. And then it was like, this is not an alien. I'm so pleased. This serial has it has one alien.
Yeah, we have to have one alien.
The same alien that's in all of them.
Well, I don't want to say titular character because it's not his real name.
Ah, but that's what he calls himself in this story. Kind of. In German. So technically, for this episode, it is definitely true. I mean, possibly you can drop the von.
According to Wikipedia, it's more like Doctor of Who.
Well, yeah, he just followed a convention for German names.
He just wanted to make it sound more German.
Is it, you know, when you see German fans just making kind of German versions of Doctor Who?
When I was doing German in school, we used to have personal writing things where you'd talk about your interests, and I'd always write Arztzwer, and the teacher would go, "Oh no, you just write Doctor," and you know, well, that's boring. But yes, titular character, main character, eponymous.
I think that only applies to movies about horses.
So anyway, they land in the middle of this battle. I'm just going to keep going on and ignore that.
Since we know absolutely nothing about anything, any historical context that you know of for this battle?
It's the Jacobites against
it's the last battle of the Jacobite Rebellion.
Oh, yeah. And what's the name of that battle?
Well, Battle of Culloden.
The Battle of Culloden.
Which, that was almost the name of this serial, but there was another show with the same title that came out around the same time, and they're like, the Highlanders.
Yeah, the Battle of the Jacobites against the Dirty Sassnachs.
So what was the whole battle about?
It was the last battle of the Jacobite Rebellion of, it happened in 1746, and basically it was about some guys who got thrown out of the throne, wanted to regain the throne.
Yes. Yeah.
At the time, the rebellion was led by Prince Charlie, who was the grandson of the Stuart King that got
dethroned
during the Glorious Revolution, and so he was leading the Highland, mostly Highland, troops to the battle against the Redcoats, and they lost.
They lost.
And I believe Highlanders start day after the battle. Yeah.
Yeah.
After the loss. Yeah. And actually,
we see a bit of the battling.
Possibly the troops getting. Well, the TARDIS VKS is the day after.
I feel so much more educated now.
I should have thought about the explanation before the podcast.
But how did you describe Bonnie Prince Charlie before?
Bonnie Prince Charlie was the grandson of James II, I believe. He lived in Italy. He didn't speak a word of Gaelic. I thought his English was very good either. And so one day, I'm exaggerating. Obviously, everyone in the Stuart family wanted to go in this throne, but one day he just, thinks it'll be proper thing to do.
Cool idea, let's go and take back Scotland.
Yes, exactly. He is a 20-something, I think. who just wants to be in Scotland. He goes to the Highlands, or actually probably the Islands. He meets with the local clan chiefs, and he decides to regain the throne.
But you had,
and that's basically it.
You had a neat little epithet for him.
Well, an Italian dandy.
Yeah, the Italian dandy.
That's what he was called by a character in a Big Finish audio that featured Jamie and mentioned the events of the Jacobite Rebellion. Mm. But that's what he was, yeah.
Yeah, basically. And he spoke Italian, very little English, no Gaelic, and inspired a lot of Scots to go and get themselves killed.
And Calvin, actually, rumours have it that he fled the battle at the end.
Bit of a wet blanket.
We have a theory from
the first episode. We land in the middle of the battle, and then the Doctor immediately starts picking up hats, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does that.
He just steals clothes whenever he gets a chance.
He just lands somewhere and is like, I'll take this hat, maybe that jacket, whatever other clothes you have lying around.
Jimmy doesn't have normal like his clothes.
Yeah, he starts insulting the owner of the hat immediately, or what does he say about it? He picks up the hat and looks at the label and makes some dismissive remark, and then he says it within earshot of the person who owns the hat.
They are not happy.
Yeah, he made some dismissive comment about the Stuarts, which we've just had a summary of, you know.
It's almost like immediately that the Doctor's like, hi, I'm German.
I think that happens a little later.
A little bit later.
When he meets the English.
That when he meets the English, yeah.
Yeah, they get taken in to the, there's like this little cabin or whatever.
They get captured almost immediately.
A bothy.
Yeah, because of the hat reasons. There's a guy dying there, and his daughter's there, and some guy named Jamie. Don't know who that guy is.
No, but honestly, neither does the episode.
I know, there's not a whole lot of Jamie. There's way more of Kirsty in this serial.
If you had just told me, hey, there's gonna be like a new companion introduced in this serial, I'd be like, okay, so Kirsty's getting on the TARDIS with everybody?
And then the episode goes, nope!
Yeah, because Jamie doesn't really do much. He just tags along.
He's just sort of there.
What he kind of does.
What he does in the episode was tag along and threaten people with knives.
And get germs mixed up with Germans.
That was the best line.
That's probably why he's a companion, that line alone.
My sister had an imaginary friend called Bad Germ, and apparently he came from Germany. Yeah. I find that line very personally satisfying.
That's amazing. Then you're like, someone else has made this connection.
And it was Jamie. Yes, I feel a special connection to Jamie because obviously James in Gaelic is Seamus.
Oh.
So we have the same name. And because of when he comes from, he's probably spoke Gaelic as his first language. So he would have been called Seamus. He would have been recorded as James in his birth certificate, probably, if he had a birth certificate. On the parish register, he would have been called James, but everyone would have called him Seamus. If there was more than one, he'd be Seamus Beck or Seamus Maud or, you know, Wee Seamus or, you know, something like that. So yeah, technically he's called Seamus, so he has the same name as me. It would have been spelled the same way. He's a Seamus, not Jamie.
And are you both pipers?
I can technically play the bagpipes. I wasn't very good at it.
What are you, Jamie?
I have my kilt hanging on the wall over there. I'm not wearing it right now, but I could put it on at a moment's notice.
This is a Watchathon of Rassilon first. We have an actual companion on the show.
I am pleased to be here.
Well, you don't remember anything.
What was that you said?
I said you don't remember anything either, because Jamie had his memories wiped.
I said, what did you say? I can't remember.
Did you hear that?
I'm sorry, that backfired.
What is it with Doctor Who characters getting their memories wiped?
Oh, now you've gone and made me sad.
Yeah, because you were researching other things to do with Highlanders and some Big Finish audio adventures. Two of them covered the same subject. Jamie getting to meet the Doctor or another Time Lord and getting his memories back and then getting his memories wiped again or something?
Well, no, I believe the one that I read about they've not listened to, I'm not sure if it actually involves Jamie getting his memories back. He's hung out with the Sixth Doctor for some reason.
He gets his memory wiped quite a few times in the extended stuff as well, so it's sad. Sad. But that's spoilers because, you know, as ages go.
We'll get there. That's my catchphrase. We'll get there. In like, you know, 3, 4, 5, 20 years.
He has it mapped out.
I did have it mapped out at one point. It's all messed up now because we added an episode. So.
Oh, I was going to mention the accents, but you know.
Yeah, go ahead. What's up with the accents?
Because Jamie isn't played by a Scot. He's played by an English person who does a really good Scottish accent. I didn't know for a long time that, I mean, you know, his accent isn't quite as good as when I saw him in this other thing, which he was playing a wee boy, or a teenager, working on the docks in Glasgow. I was convinced at that point he must have been Scottish because his accent was so good in that. But then I went up and looked and thought, oh no, he's English. At least I think so.
How are the rest of the accents in this serial?
The Laird, his accent is okay. He may in fact be Scottish, but his accent might be just a bit leaning towards BBC rather than, you know, I wasn't quite so sure about Kirsty, but it had all the features of a Highland accent, as far as I could tell. So, yeah, that was great. And some of the other actors in it didn't sound quite so Scottish.
See, I never noticed any of that until they have an American on, like, New Who, and it's just like, no. Wow, that is...
Please stop.
It's very rare for me to hear that. Like, you don't see Americans on...
Yeah, but you hear quite bad Scottish accents all the time. The difficulty around this era of television is that some of the accents you hear on television when it's black and white, the Scottish ones, they do sound these days quite caricaturish, but you can't tell whether they're putting that on because they're on TV or if that's genuinely how they spoke normally. But that accent was taken forward and sort of caricaturized further, and you listen to it and you think, oh, that sounds fake, but then no, it's actually a genuine Scottish person saying it.
Just acting poorly? Is that...
possibly. But yeah, that was the accent for that bit, because I wasn't quite convinced about the Laird.
He's also dying, so...
He is dying. Maybe we'll let him off.
It's hard to have a proper accent when you're dying.
Then somehow they get captured by the English. How did they do that again? The English just turned up.
Yeah, pretty much.
I know how it's Ben. It's Ben's fault.
Oh my god, it is Ben's fault.
Ben grabbed a gun from them, and then they're like, oh, everybody's like, oh, okay, we're okay with you, because the doctor started doctoring the Laird. And then Ben drops the gun, alerting...
He's like, hey, put the gun down. And Ben's like, all right, let me just toss it onto this table here. And it goes off.
We really dislike Ben.
You know what? I'm glad you said that first.
We have not had a guest on the show yet who likes Ben.
So, where I've been like, we need to stop talking about it because we're being a little harsh.
Oops.
And one of our previous guests, Ben Padden, was like, I really want to like him because he shares my name, but I just don't like him.
Yeah, so you got way lucky.
Yeah, I got the good one. Jamie, I approve of, yeah.
I got Steven.
So, yeah.
That's my middle name.
That's pretty good. That's a good one. The gun goes off.
And that alerts.
And that, yeah, that brings the English there. Da-da.
That's when the doctor becomes German.
He just, like, right away, with no explanation, just puts on an accent, and you're like, what are you doing?
He has a reason.
He does have a reason. It's good, and it's sneaky, and I like it a lot.
What is it they can't...
They can't hang him without notifying, like...
The embassy, yeah. He's a foreign national. I mean, technically he is.
It's true.
Yeah, but there is also a reason why he says he's specifically German. That's because in the Glorious Revolution, the king, Willem of Orange, who actually became the king, he was from Hanover. Oh. So I think that they say that he speaks better English than the king.
Yes, yeah. He did say that, yeah. Our history nerd, thank you.
Oh, we should have her and Jez battle it out.
Oh.
Jez is our other resident historian.
Jez is who we have on a lot of historical podcasts so that she can shout at us about what we don't know and why didn't we pay attention more in school.
She's probably better.
But you know about some Scottish stuff that I don't know about, so together we make a good team.
What?
Perfect for this one, for this serial.
So the Doctor manages to avoid getting hanged.
And then everyone else kind of gets out of it because, what's the guy's name?
Solicitor Grey.
Who is apparently the only actual historical character in this serial?
He's a historical character?
Apparently, yes. I didn't know about that, but...
I mean, I thought he was slimy enough to be real. He sounds exactly like the sort of person who would be involved in that sort of thing at that time, in that place.
He's basically going to buy these people or whatever so that he can make them slaves.
Oh, he's so slimy. That's such a good word. He's like, it seems like, you know, a waste of manpower to just kill him.
He's got, like, the secretary, Perkins, who's, I'm pretty sure, played by one of the Marx Brothers.
Every single time, too, someone said his name, Joe went, and Perkins. Very annoying, by the way.
I'm sorry. It's hard not to. I really like the Perkins. He's really good comic relief. Gray's slimy. Perkins is funny. Also, during all this, Polly and Kirsty escape somehow. And they think that one of them might be Prince Charlie. Because there's rumors that he's escaping dressed as a lady. Which, this happens a lot in Doctor Who. Guys dressed up like ladies and ladies dressed up like guys.
I feel like a lot of time it's out of convenience of, like, this female companion everyone just thinks is a guy, or else everyone would be weirded out by them.
But this time it was an actual historical thing. Yeah. He was, yeah, you know, that's what he was supposed to have done.
Escaped, actually.
Yeah, so this is an actual genuine historical
thing. He was dressed as a maid.
And we actually do have a theory about Kirsty. We were watching her, and in her first episode, she wasn't quite, you know, fierce.
She actually spends quite a bit of it being kind of berated by Polly, like, can you just frickin', we got shit to do.
Pull yourself together, yeah. And I was thinking, because I had been to see a play based on the history of Scotland as told by the people, called The Cheviot, the Stag, and the Black Oil. That was the name of the play. There was a bit on the Highland Clearances, obviously, and the Highland Clearances where the landlords came and got the poor people off their land so that they could make way for grazing sheep, because the sheep were far more lucrative. So they sent all the people away to foreign places. Yeah, so that's how Commonwealth places got all their Scottish people. In the play, they were talking about how when there were forcible removals of people, the lairds would send their big heavy men to beat people up and send them onto the ships. And the men of the villages and towns and settlements did nothing. They just sort of stood around because the laird gave them the money. That's, you know, their work was to get money from the laird. So they didn't really feel like they could do anything. So they just sort of went, oh no, it's not our problem. All the women of the villages, on the other hand, started beating up the people who had come to remove them from the land. And that wasn't a one-time occurrence. That was, you know, in several different places across the country. The women banded together to stand up for their livelihood and their lives and their homes and their families. But the men stood and, you know, sort of acted more like Kirsty.
Which made us think.
Well, yeah.
Kirsty is kind of what you would expect Bullyproof Charlie in disguise to behave like.
Yes. So our theory goes that Kirsty was actually Bonnie Prince Charlie throughout the whole story.
That would explain the ring.
It would explain,
yeah,
the ring.
She's the one who has the ring.
And the cluelessness.
She's completely clueless in everything. And the only downside is that it would involve Bonnie Prince Charlie learning to speak English to the extent where he could fake a good Highland accent. But, you know, minor detail.
And also,
it's a good theory, I'm keeping it.
Getting the laird involved in it as well, being like, yeah, totes my daughter.
Which, Polly and Kirsty weren't there, I think, when they go out for, yeah, to get water. And yeah, when they come back,
they see that, yeah,
what's happened.
That Ben was an idiot. And then they go to my favorite place in black and white era Doctor Who. They hide out in a cave.
In the cave?
And that's where Polly starts taking charge.
Yeah.
And also annoyed you a little bit to begin with.
She was rude! Because she gets on to Kirsty and is like, you need to, like, quit. Well, they're trying to get money. And she's like, well, here, sell this ring. And Kirsty's like, no, this is an important ring. We're not going to just sell it. And she's like, well, you're a dumb peasant. Just sell the ring. And I'm like, what? Why are you being so rude?
She's just playing into all the stereotypes about rich English people towards Scottish people.
Just, you know. She's like, you don't know anything. You just come in here. You're making all these assumptions. Obviously, the audience has enough context to be like, that's important. That's a plot point ring right there. Why are you being a jerk?
Maybe she just really wants to drive home the point that this is a plot point. So she's being as rude as possible to draw attention to it, just in case anyone misses it.
But yeah, no, Joe's making fun of me because I was like mad at her. I said, what are you so mad about? That is the rudest thing I've ever heard. You can't just go around calling people dumb peasants.
I wasn't quite as angry because that's what I would expect. Dumb. You know, not to stereotype English people, but you know, come on. That's basically what they do. I'm sorry, English people. I'm kidding. You're fine. I like you.
Don't call him a dumb peasant.
Yeah, or I'll take my knife out and be all Jamie on you.
But I think basically that's how episode one ends, is that
Polly
just
storms
leaves.
Off and falls in a hole.
Yeah, she's like, fine, I'll just take care of it myself. And immediately falls in a hole and is trapped and needs help.
And then we're given a misdirect because she sees someone with a dagger and you're like, ah! It's Kirsty. Oh, and now we're in episode...
That's how episode two starts.
We're in episode two, The Quickening.
Despite Polly being the worst, Kirsty still comes to help her out.
No, that's still held by Ben. That title is still held
by
Ben.
Okay, no, you're right. Ben's the worst.
I mean, you know, Polly's, you know, competing, I think.
Despite Polly trying her best to also be the worst, I think once Polly's out of the pit or the hole or whatever it was that she's fallen in...
It is an animal pit, apparently.
they see Finch.
Finch.
You said that, and then Polly said it on screen like a couple seconds later.
Because it's Finch with two F's.
So I was amused by it.
Yeah, the first time I watched this, I was watching it by myself, and I said out loud, Finch, just as it came up on the screen, and I thought, Finch? And then she said, Finch.
She said that, and I was like, is that legit how that's pronounced? And I was like, no, she's just doing the exact same thing we are. She's just like, your name is silly. This is, like, the best scene, where basically they just sort of, they just mess with him.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic, and I love it.
Does she make up for her earlier scene?
Yeah, see, and that's like the conversation we had immediately, was Joe was like, I don't know why you're being so harsh on Polly. She's amazing this episode. And I was like, I haven't forgiven her yet, but I agree. She's being kind of a badass.
She's trying to atone.
They both sort of overtake him and cut his hair and they're going to blackmail him. It's great. I enjoyed every... And they throw him in the pit.
Literally.
Like a whole Daniel in the Lion's Den situation.
That's
amazing. I enjoyed every second of that. It was funny and awesome. This is the first instance of me legitimately enjoying Polly. Because, like, before, she's just been kind of there.
She really has been.
She's not really done much. In this episode, she actually gets to do things. And she takes charge and gets shit done. So she outranks Ben in the favorite companions solely from this scene, this serial alone.
All right.
I mean, it doesn't take much, but hey.
I was going to say, I thought she already did just by not being Ben.
Yeah, every companion gets a step above Ben for just not being Ben.
Do you see what I mean now about us being too harsh?
Well, wait till I start talking about that accent.
But yeah, so while that's happening, everyone else who's gotten captured have been thrown in this, like...
prison.
Yeah, thing. Which is like all... There's water all on the bottom of it.
Full of water and probably rats and stuff. So.
It's not a fun place to be.
And they're like, put in there for, like, holding, right? Until, like...
They can get on the ship, basically.
Yeah, which is controlled by the most stereotypical pirate...
Oh, my gosh!
I have ever seen. He literally says R, like a 5 billion times.
Sometimes it's not even, like, in the middle of a sentence. It just, like, cuts a reaction from it, and it'll just go,
"Arr."
Just in case you forgot, I'm still a pirate.
Or I'm from Cornwall.
His name is Trask, by the way.
We're talking about this, and, you know, we're thinking, oh, yeah, this story's got everything. It's got Highlanders in kilts. It's got redcoats being annoying and rude and, you know, terrible. And it's got pirates and lawyers.
And again, like a combination of Chico and Harpo Marx.
Because I said Trask. Oh, he sounds a bit like, as far as I can tell, he sounds like he's from Cornwall. And Marta said, oh, sounds like a pirate. But, yeah, and I was saying, you know, yeah, because all pirates are from Cornwall. Because the guy who played Long John Silver or somebody in the original film of Treasure Island happened to have a Cornwall accent. And then ever since then, people playing pirates in films and TV have been from Cornwall. No, they've been doing Cornwall accents. So pirates are from Cornwall.
That's fantastic. I'm so happy to have this information.
That might be related to the Pirates of Penzance, but I'm not quite sure.
Mostly I'm happy about it, because that means there's a place that I could go to where everyone to me would sound like pirates.
Yes. Also, we like Cornwall because they've got a Celtic language too. There you go.
They kind of are really trying to have it.
Yeah, well, they let their Celtic language die out, but they're trying to bring it back, so we forgive them.
If you go to Cornwall, just ask everybody, what's the 18th letter of the alphabet?
It'll be different for them, though, if they're thinking about Cornish, the language.
Well, where's R in there?
Because I don't know how many they use, but the Scottish Gaelic alphabet only uses 18 letters. So the last letter for Gaelic speakers is the letter U. Because they go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, L, M, N, O, P, R, S, T, U.
I feel so incomplete right now.
Well, there's, but R is still in there somewhere. Just figure out what number that is, then you ask them what that, and then you just hear people say R all the time.
All right, Joe.
Did you just say R right?
No.
apparently, in the Cornish alphabet, it's the 17th letter, but then you have to check whether they speak Cornish or not. It gets complicated. I'm sorry. Overcomplicating things.
No, we've got to figure this out.
Sound like pirates.
Or just ask people to say R. You don't have to.
Right. You don't have to get all fancy about it. Anyway, while they're in this cell, The Doctor finds out that the Layard has the Prince's standard, which I have to say I don't... What is...
Wasn't that like the map thing?
That's a flag. His sort of... The thing he puts on his flagpole. Okay. His guy that walks out in front of him in the battle to show he's, you know, cool, I'm a prince. It's, you know, his standard is, you know, with his coat of arms on it.
Gotcha. Did not know what that was.
He's usually a heavier fabric than a flag.
We didn't know what a Layard was either. We were just like, isn't he one of the guys who created Ninja Turtles? That's all we knew.
Yeah, Layard is just the Scots word for Lord, so...
When we told you we knew an embarrassing amount, I feel like that's coming into focus now. Just how much we meant.
Well, I mean, I assume you worked out what a Laird was, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. Because, I mean, it's kind of like Lord, but, you know, the Scottish sort of clan system is a bit different to the English clan system. So a Lord is slightly different from a Laird, but...
Comparable enough.
Yeah. Clan chief and all that sort of thing. But he had the standard, so he had the thing saying, yes, we like Bonnie Prince Charlie. Which meant that they were friends of Bonnie Prince Charlie, which meant they probably had been near him at some point, or knew someone who did, who was near him.
Then comes the greatest scene, the beginning of a series of great things, of the Second Doctor. He throws the standard over the dude, right? The Grey. Ties him up in the closet. The Perkins comes in, and he...
Well, and
he just doctors him to death. Or not death.
Well, I'm saying because he goes to Grey to, like, show him the standard and be like, hey, I know things. Get me out of here. And once he's out of the cell, that's when, yeah.
He throws it over him. Ties him up.
Sticks him in the cupboard.
As you do. And then
he
just...
Hitlers him.
That's a good parallel. Though, unlike Let's Kill Hitler...
This is a good episode?
Yeah.
They also proceed
to continue to use Grey throughout the story, whereas in Let's Kill Hitler, they forget about him.
I liked the fact that they just forgot about Hitler. I thought that was the greatest thing about that. You set up this huge, big moral dilemma, and then you just shove him in the cupboard.
Yeah. That is excellent. It's everything else about that episode that's not.
Then Perkins comes in and he sort of just uses headology on him to sort of, you know, have you got a headache? No. Have you got a headache? Yes. Ah.
It's beautiful.
It's the greatest thing.
And like he hears like Grey like in the cupboard. He's like, oh, that's just a symptom. Yeah, yeah, you know.
You're sick, and you'll hear shouting coming from the cupboard. Ignore it.
Just close your eyes, lay down, and. Count to like 100.
It was very Seventh Doctor, wasn't it?
It was a bit Seventh Doctor, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I feel like this is the most active the Doctor has been so far. Because, you know, Hartnell.
This is where he starts to get proactive and, you know, actually moving the plot.
I've already loved two so much.
I do too. I was worried because we love Hartnell so much, but that we'd miss him a lot and not concentrate enough on Troughton. But no, he's amazing.
He's in my top three. Top three Doctors.
It's so sad that there's so little of him that exists. Like, we still have not gotten to an entirely existing episode of him yet.
Let alone story, just episode.
Kirsty and Polly, I don't know if we said, when they were messing with Fafitch, they stole all his money.
Well, as you would.
So he can't get out of the hole because apparently the English army operates on bribes.
Yes. That's exactly it. He's like, it's going to be really, like, a lot of hard work to get you out of this hole. And, like, we'll want beer money.
And he's just like, you guys take an IOU?
Not only is he, like, did he have to get someone to, like, can someone please come get me out of this hole? And also, basically, someone beat me up and stole my lunch money. Please don't talk to me about it.
Captain Trask.
Arr.
Captain R. We're going to start calling him Captain R. Returns and finds Perkins
having a snooze,
counting to 100. He's in like the 80s.
And Grey all tied up and is like, what kind of establishment are you running here? What kind of slave business do you have?
Shoddy is what it is.
This is why they needed to abduct people, because they couldn't get organized enough to actually pay people, or, you know, organize people who wanted to actually do jobs. So they had to force people to do it.
Just sloppy, sloppy businessmanship. That's not a word, is it? I don't know.
It is now. I'm a linguist. It is now. The Doctor goes into the scullery place, and he dresses up.
Continuing the theme of...
You said that he was very Bugs Bunny in this episode.
He is very Bugs Bunny in this episode.
What's up, Doc?
Like, and there's points where it's like, there's not even, like, a very good reason why you have gone to these lengths with your disguises.
He's going the extra mile here, isn't he?
Yeah, because, like, this one he gets right now, he could have just kept. And then later we'll see he's just got this completely different outfit for no reason with, like, full-on mustache.
He's just having fun.
It's like, what was wrong with your last disguise?
Which, and the answer we haven't said.
He got bored with it. That's...
We haven't said what his disguise was.
Oh, he's disguised himself as an...
Scullery maid.
Older lady.
Wikipedia
yeah.
says old crone, which I think is rude. That's a little judgmental.
There's a word for old woman in Gaelic, which is Caillach, which can be just woman. It can also mean something like crone, but it's used for, you know, sort of old women and crones, and sort of, you know, that sort of got that sort of connotation to it. So, I mean, you know, maybe they were thinking they were translating from Gaelic. I don't know.
I'm just so offended by everyone being so rude today.
While he's there, he gets some food too. He gets a carrot. And he's like, "What's up, me?"
God, you are making this so difficult today.
That's my job. See, because he's.
Okay. Everyone followed.
I think we got that. I liked it.
It's funnier when I explain the joke.
This is what happens. You make a joke and then I'm lost.
All right, Trask is like, all right, I'm going to, you know, look over the fact that you were sleeping and hanging out in the closet and lost a dude. And I'm going to go ahead and take your prisoners.
Just gonna ignore the fact that you're totally incompetent and continue going on.
Yeah, he's a bit of a weird character, isn't he?
And then he puts him on the ship, the Annabelle. The prisoners are literally led right past the doctor, who has escaped and not gone very far, apparently. They're not even gonna look for him? I don't know.
I mean, I don't think they're really that concerned with, like...
one prisoner?
Yeah.
I'd be, like, more concerned, like, he just said you had a headache and you bought it?
I guess that happens to Perkins every other week.
Start getting on the boat.
Yeah, they get on the boat and they see a dude thrown into the water. There's not much of a cliffhanger this episode. It's like, oh no, someone that we have no idea who it is got thrown overboard.
I mean, it's kind of a dire situation. We're about to get, you know, put on a slave ship and they're just throwing bodies overboard.
Yeah, and
they're
and
that
then,
guy didn't make it.
Well, Trask is like, that's the only way you'll ever get off this boat. R.
Oh, R.
And that is the end of the second episode.
And we are now on to episode 3, The Sorcerer.
Wait, that's me.
That's the third Highlander film.
So it opens with them being on the Annabelle, which is the ship, the ship's name. And everyone starts getting kind of mad at Ben.
Justifiably.
Because he's English and also the worst.
I mean, yeah. But the Laird was nice to him, wasn't he, for some reason?
Because he's nice the fake dad of Bonnie Prince Charlie. Yes.
Yeah. Ben sort of didn't really help in that situation, but he was in the presence of people who kind of tried to help the Laird. I guess he's forgiven by proxy.
And it's revealed in this scene, I think, that McKay...
Yeah, the guy who has the beef with Ben.
The guy who's fighting with Ben, yeah, used to be the captain of the ship.
Willie McKay.
McKay.
I don't know, I'm just reading up.
Yeah, the guy who played Willie McKay, he sounded really very, very convincingly Scottish. I think he was definitely Scottish, you know. Just putting that out there. I liked his accent. Sounded much more convincing than Laird.
It's got the Seamus stamp of approval.
Ka-chunk.
Polly has a plan. Like, they've gotten this money, and Polly comes back with oranges? And she's like, we're going to sell oranges. And, like, this offends Kirsty a lot.
Being Bonnie Prince Charlie, you wouldn't want to be associated with people who do things that poor people do.
That is basically her objection, too.
More evidence. Our claim is getting stronger.
This theory's panning out.
Polly came back with oranges, and it seemed like the narrative was telling us, yes, the audience should know, or should, you know, sort of guess that this is a thing. But I had no idea that people specifically sold oranges to soldiers. That sounded awfully specific.
That scene happened and I was like, this seems to have a very specific connotation that I'm not aware of.
They just really needed vitamin D.
Because, like, immediately Kirsty knew what the plan was and I was sitting there like, why does she have oranges?
Well, I mean, you know, Bonnie Prince Charlie, you know, wealthy sort of-ish royal person, would have access to citrus fruits and fancy stuff like that. And, you know, because they wouldn't be that common. in the Highlands in the 1700s, because you can't really grow them there. So, you know, Bonnie Prince Charlie would know about these sorts of things.
Evidence just keeps piling up.
But yeah, that seemed awfully specific. But then, you know, they go and pretend to sell oranges.
And then they run into their favorite butt monkey, Finch.
Finch. And then there's like somebody that's like, aren't those the women we were chasing earlier? And he's like, no. They're good. They're buddies.
They act very pallish from here on out. They're all cool. I mean, not really, but, you know, Polly and Kirsty start to get very fond of their blackmailed sergeant.
Well, and Finch starts to get fond back.
It's a very way that Stockholm is weird. Sort of deal going on.
Obviously, he can tell when he's been beaten and has a lot of respect for people who can outsmart him, because he's clearly a keen, cunning, and another word that means sort of, you know, clever and stuff. Sergeant person. That's a great sentence. I like it. He seems to gain respect for them for outsmarting him, is basically what I tried to say there.
Yeah, that's a good theory.
The doctor is there in that room, but he's in disguise.
And nobody knows. And he's kind of sometimes doing a sort of Scottish accent and kind of sometimes not. But no one really notices because he's made himself look like someone who nobody wants to look at. So nobody really cares. He gets away with it.
And then back on the ship, this is when everyone kind of like, all right, here are your choices. You can either, like, tell us everything you know, or we can hang you, or you can sign these contracts. That it's like a 7-year indentured servant, which, you know, isn't actually a real thing. That's not how that works at all.
Well, I mean, they like you to think so. But once you're there, yeah.
But the contracts are important because it's what they need to be like, hey, this is on the up and up.
And then Ben does, like, the only thing where I'm like, yeah, Ben.
Ben did a good thing, and we were very proud of him.
You're not completely the worst.
So he grabs a contract.
Like, can I read it? And they're like, sure.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's not real anyway. He takes it and he rips it up. I think he rips up all of them.
Yeah, he takes all three pieces of paper and goes, then Jamie goes, oh, I like him. Possibly for the first and last time.
And then he gets knocked unconscious by Trask, and Gray has to go and get new contracts.
Yeah, I mean, he does a good thing and immediately gets knocked on the head for it. I mean, you know, he's probably going to learn take away from this that doing good things that people like him for is going to get him knocked out.
That was just all the previous bad karma catching up to him.
Right. It just chose an unfortunate moment. And then we're back with Polly and Kirsty. And Perkins. And they're basically just kind of hanging out with him, I think.
They're playing some game. Whist? I don't know what that is.
Mm-mm.
Oh yeah, Whist. 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 I have no idea what the game is either.
You sounded very excited, like, I'm going to explain to you what this game is.
They're playing...
I just like words that begin with wh.
They're playing Whist. This random old crone,
totally not the doctor,
as they were so rudely described, says, hey, you need 4 players to play this game. I'll be your 4th player.
That's something you don't see a whole lot of. What's that? The doctor with a gun.
With 2 guns.
2 guns. Oh, he had 2 guns?
Yeah, he pointed, well, at least it said on the screen, you wouldn't actually see it. It said, the doctor points both pistols at the guy. And you're right, it's not something that doctor is seen to do terribly often.
Well, have you seen that post? It's that scene from, I forget the episode, but it's 10, saying, that's me always unarmed. And then it's just like a bunch of different doctors all pointing guns at someone.
Yeah, it happens at least once per doctor.
I mean, it even happened with 10.
I mean, it's supposed to be, you know, like a this is how far he's been pushed. But like at least once a doctor, it's happened.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we do later find out that neither of the pistols is loaded. It was a bluff on his part.
But he basically is like tells Perkins, go away, count to 100.
Or he just tells him, you're going to sit here quietly and wait for 10 minutes. And then you're going to leave and forget I was ever here.
Or you'll get more headaches.
I will magically make your headache come back. That's my attempt at his bad German accent.
Was that a bad impression of a bad accent?
It might have just been my attempt at a German accent, which makes it possibly bad.
I'm just saying there's layers to it.
But now Polly and Kirsty and the doctor are all together. And yeah, this is where he reveals that the gun wasn't even loaded. And he has some line where he's... says that he doesn't really care for guns, but that, like, having it was useful.
And Polly's like, all right, let's make a plan. And the doctor's like, nah, I'm gonna take a nap.
And Polly, are you
showing
kidding
that
me?
Old Hartnell charm? That's
Good night, everyone.
Or just, I'm going to sleep for a while.
And he's kind of like, I think I might have an idea, but I really want to take a nap. So we can just save everyone after I've slept.
And they're like, come on, give us a little something. He's like, buy weapons with all that money you stole. Good night.
I kind of had a thought that maybe he had decided he didn't really care about saving Ben and just sort of thought this was a good opportunity to get rid of him.
This could be pretty convenient for me, actually.
You're just going to have a nap and then accidentally wake up a little bit too late to go and save Ben.
Whoops,
all of your theories have been spot on so far.
I'm on fire.
But Gray and Perkins come back to the ship and they have new contracts. Trask is asked to ensure that everyone signs them this time. It's not going to be nice about it.
Then Kirstie and Polly didn't have a lot of luck getting weapons.
They're like, I've got a pitchfork and a knife. I've got a rock. And like the doctor just has like a weird wheelbarrow?
Wheelbarrow, yeah.
Word didn't go quite as planned. A wheelbarrow just full of guns. Like, all right, you did better.
You just showed up with that like scene in The Matrix where all the guns go.
I was thinking that scene from Crocodile Dundee. You call that a pile of weapons? This is a pile of weapons.
Also, he finds out about the ring, which we talked about, like the ring, but we never said what it
ring.
Yeah, but we not said what the plot point is.
It was a spoiler at that point to talk about what the ring was.
Guys, it's the prince's ring. I just wanted to let you know.
Once again, another notch in the
Kirstie is Bonnie Prince Charlie theory.
This is where something happens that made me feel a little bit guilty.
Makes you feel guilty.
You cheered, I think.
Maybe a little. Ben gets thrown overboard.
Hey, I mean, that's so sad.
I mean, like, poor he's Ben. Like tied. He's like bound by rope and they throw him in. That's the cliffhanger and I'm like, I feel a little bit bad.
That was the end of episode 3, The Sorcerer. We're now into episode 4, Endgame.
I think they were possibly not going to dunk him straight in. They were just kind of going to let him dangle there. That's what I thought. But he manages to escape anyway, and they don't really care that he disappears.
It's because all of the villains are incompetent.
Well, also, like, these aren't very important people. They think he's a deserter. He's just some random guy. They're like, whatever. He'll either drown or whatever. We don't care.
We didn't tie a good knot. We don't have time for that.
Trask is too busy trying to maintain his Cornish pirate aesthetic. And Gray and Perkins are, you know, too busy concerned with making profit. And yeah, they don't, you know, Ben, whatever. Bye, Ben. Didn't like you anyway.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your feelings, Ben emerges from the water and crawls back onto the ship. He's fine.
But he immediately bumps into a red coat. But it's the doctor!
Yay. That's what you said. That was his second, like, he ditched one.
One perfectly viable.
Disguise for another. Yeah. And he has a mustache this time.
Where did he get that mustache?
Who knows?
He shaved it off a British officer.
He maybe just went back to the TARDIS for it.
It wasn't.
I know they were nowhere near the TARDIS.
It's probably when he's getting all those weapons. He's like, you know what? Throw that mustache in.
He bought somebody's mustache off of them.
Like, literally, right off of their face. Did they even have, like, glue-on mustache? Like, he peels it off. Like, did they have mustaches like that back
then?
He's
the doctor. He could think of something.
I was going to say maybe he had one in his pockets, but he'd got rid of his normal clothes to put on the disguise earlier, so he didn't have his clothes. So he didn't have pockets, so he couldn't pull stuff out of his pockets like a glue-on mustache or anything.
To be honest, though, that is so plausible. If I had to guess what kind of things were in the doctor's pockets, a fake mustache is, like, top of the list.
Stole it from the Brigadier, apparently.
Yeah, that was before the first time that...
Yeah, this is before Unit, isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe, but you know, temporarily transcendental pockets, he reaches into his pockets and accidentally pulls out the Brigadier's mustache before he's even met him.
I've heard a lot of comparisons between 2 and 11. Having facial hair for no reason is another parallel between those two. I really feel like 11 just like, can I have a mustache and a beard? No reason, just want it.
Why not grow a beard?
Including that one where he was technically a robot? I don't know.
We won't speak of it.
He was a robot who grew facial hair.
I don't understand that entirely. But okay. Classic Who.
The doctor distracts Gray. Or, well, I haven't actually gotten there yet, but I think the doctor's telling Ben the plan, which is they've got all these weapons, and the doctor's going to distract the crew while Kirstie, I think, is just handing out guns to everyone on the ship.
Because he's going to go in with the ring and be like, yeah, I know Prince
I know
is.
Where the prince is. And they'll totally buy it, despite the fact that he did this exact same thing before. And they have zero reason to trust him. They still will.
It is distracted by a shiny ring. Are we got to the bit where he's telling Grey about how he knows who Bunny Prince Charlie is? And he implicates Jamie by saying, what does he say? Did you see that short Highlander with the soft face and hands?
Fair hands.
And, you know, he sort of goes on about how beautiful and delicate Jamie is. And we just looked at each other and thought, and you said, well,
married.
They're married.
Already.
They've only just met.
It was love at first sight.
Even though the plot doesn't really focus on Jamie at all.
And it's kind of sad, because I was like, I was excited to get to Jamie, and I was like, I'm sure he's great, but I just don't know yet, because I haven't seen him do anything.
Talking about married, though, we were looking stuff up, and apparently after everything happens, Jamie, when he goes back, he gets married to Kirsty, and we were saying, well, you know,
Kirsty is Bonnie Prince Charlie.
Since Kirsty is Bonnie Prince Charlie, Jamie married Bonnie Prince Charlie, thus fulfilling his life's dream. Because he's a Jacobite and supporting Bonnie and Prince Charlie. He's in love with Bonnie and Prince Charlie. He wants to marry Bonnie and Prince Charlie.
Everything about this theory is solid.
I haven't seen a single hole yet.
But it gets better. So, you know, one of the big Finnish officers is, I think it's a companion chronicle, has Jamie, old Jamie, meeting a CIA agent who's investigating a change in that occurred during one of his travels.
It
turns out that Jamie and the doctor actually visited England during the Glorious Revolution and prevented it from happening. So, Bonnie Prince Charlie eventually became king.
So they changed the timeline so that...
Yes, so in the alternative timeline, Jamie prevented the Glorious Revolution from happening, and Bonnie Prince Charlie became Charles III, making Jamie the queen consort.
Yeah, he's the consort to the king in this alternative timeline.
Fantastic.
I enjoy all of this.
This is all going in my headcanon folder. They are going through with this plan. They're arming everybody. Basically, we have just a while of fighting, and I haven't skipped over anything terribly important, have I?
In the reconstruction we watched, everything started moving, and we thought, wait, hang on, it's moving. And then we thought, wait, that doesn't look like Doctor Who. And then we watched for a few more seconds, and we thought, this definitely isn't Doctor Who. And someone had inserted a black and white scene of some old film of half-naked, muscly pirates fighting on the deck of a ship, just sort of punching each other and, you know, grabbing each other by the throats and stuff and hurling them overboard. And it was totally nothing to do with what was going on in the actual fight scene. It just was another fight scene that happened to take place on a boat.
I don't know. That sounds a little bit preferable to just vague shuffling fighting noises.
Well, it was amusing.
Like, just sitting there being like, I think someone might have just gotten shot. I don't... Alright. Fight scenes are really difficult to just listen to.
It's definitely the worst part of reconstructions, is just like...
Any kind of action where you're just like, that looked cool.
You just hear... You're like, I assume the bad guys are losing. I don't...
Good guys win. Willy gets his ship back.
Yay. We like Willy. I like Willy.
Which I was confused because it said that he went down. Willy goes down. And I was like, oh no, they killed Willy. And then like he's like, well, I'm taking back control over my boat. And I'm like, okay, he's not dead. I misread that.
Maybe he just kind of almost fell overboard and then came back up again.
Trask goes over the overboard.
Yeah, we kind of got a bit distracted by the sort of incongruous fight scene, and we lost... I sort of lost the thread of what happened after that.
Jamie actually fights Trask until he forces him off the boat.
Cool. Good for Jamie. So a pirate versus a Highlander. Yeah.
Team TARDIS and Grey all get into the rowboat.
And Jamie, because he's technically not Team TARDIS yet.
Oh yes, and Jamie. Soon to be Team TARDIS.
Oh, and Perkins is like, I don't care for that Grey dude. He's a dick.
And spits on him and says, that grave me great pleasure, sir.
And then he becomes like sidekick to Willy Mackay?
Mackay, yeah.
And he becomes sort of sidekick to him, and they go off on boat adventures.
Well, Willy's like, should I trust him? And the doctor's like, nah, but whatever. Take him with you anyway.
He is easily tricked.
Yeah, he's not very trustworthy, but like...
He's also really dumb.
Right. So you'll be fine. And so yeah, they decide that they need to get back to the TARDIS. Jamie says, let me come with you.
I'll take you back to where you came from.
Yeah, so I can sort of lead you back to where you were. You'll need somebody to help you. And then basically, Polly just says, hey, he's cute and has soft hands and a soft face. Can we keep him? Like, he's a puppy.
Let's give him forward a little bit there. But
yeah.
Yeah. Because then there's, you know, Gray gets away, and then they make it back, but Gray's already there, and then...
But basically, he gets arrested. Oh! For Finch!
For Finch.
For Finch. She takes a liking to For Finch as well, Polly does.
And gives him a smooch, because he's like, he arrests... Gray for illegally doing all the slave
because
stuff.
Because he doesn't have any contracts anymore. He's like, oh, it's fine, I had contracts. And they're like, where are they? And he's like, I don't... They're gone now. It's like, all right, well then, you don't have contracts, so we're gonna arrest you.
The doctor definitely didn't take them.
And the doctor's like, are these your cards? Nope, that's not it. Tucks him back in his coat.
Is this your card?
And yeah, Polly asks if For Finch did that because... I don't think I've called him Finch this whole time. I've called him For Finch every time. Polly asks if he did it because of blackmail, and he's like, no, I just like you now. I just think you're kind of cute. And Polly kisses him.
Oh, it's quite nice.
And it's cute and a little weird, since they did spend most of the episode blackmailing him, but okay. You know,
seems cool with it.
That's when they're like, can Jamie... come with us, and the doctor's like, it's only if he teaches me the bagpipes.
And Jamie's like, I can do that! I have to say, it upsets me a little bit. Jamie can't have any possible idea of what he's getting into.
At all. He does spend the rest of his time in the TARDIS clueless, doesn't he, though?
We don't know.
Oh,
we don't
sorry.
Know yet.
You don't know. Spoilers.
It seems... irresponsible to just be like, can we take him with us? Especially since at first he's like, I don't know. And they're like, yeah, come on, it'll be fun. And he's like, okay.
Where are you going?
Why are we walking into a blue box? Is this going to take us somewhere? I don't understand anything. Let's go.
And then they're off.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the end of the Highlanders.
Yay. And then we don't get to see Jamie teaching the Doctor to play the bagpipes.
We also don't get to see Jamie's reaction
to the TARDIS.
The scrolling text says something about he's nervous about stepping into the TARDIS, but that's all you really get. And I don't know how it starts in the next episode.
It might pick up there. What is the next story?
The Underwater Menace, which I'm excited about. I think it's 4 episodes.
2 of them exist?
The 2 middle ones exist. So we'll have an existing episode, and we'll get to see these people move around like real people.
Which helps. It helps a lot.
Yeah, it is nice when television shows people moving.
That was the Highlanders. We did it.
We did one. Is it time?
It's time.
It's time for...
Battle of the Arts!
It was cool, wasn't it? There were some questionable Scottish accents and some less questionable Scottish accents. And overall, I felt, you know, they made the English look bad enough that I kind of sympathised with what they were going for. So to me, it felt pretty good just because of that, really. I mean, Ben was there. He got one good thing to do, but I mean, he was being English and not terribly great for most of the time. And Polly was there being English and not terribly great to Kirsty for the beginning of it. So they became good friends after that. So I suppose, you know, redeemed herself somewhat. And the Doctor got to dress up as much as he wanted, yeah. Which I think he was happy.
Yeah, it was a nice historical episode with the Doctor in multiple drugs.
Yes.
I think we get more of that on Modern Doctor Who.
Yeah, I mean, you see posts going around with the Doctors dressed up as women. You don't see that one on there, as far as I know, most of the time.
Before we didn't see much either.
Yeah, we didn't see it more than grainy screenshots. Well, telly snaps. Oh, one thing. I think they were mispronouncing that clan motto thing that the Laird shouted, because it came up on the screen as something, and they said Craig and Tour or something, but had an E on the end, so you have to pronounce it Crack and Turda. So that was, you know, a point against them. They mispronounced the only Gaelic in it. It would have been nice if there had been more sort of Gaelic in it, but then I always say that about anything. I went to see Zootropolis and I thought it would have been nice if there was more Gaelic in this. But, you know, they did have exactly one line of Gaelic in it.
And they dropped the ball.
Yeah, they dropped the E. It was a weird introduction to a new companion, though, especially one so beloved throughout, you know, the whole of the Doctor Who fandom, really. Because I get the impression that he is, you know, lots of people like him a lot. So to have him sort of just, you know, just wandering in, following around the main characters until...
So far, I seem to think that the reason Jamie stayed on as a companion was because people liked him so much in the first 3 episodes. That's not true. He was apparently actually confirmed, you know, weeks before that, but he was just tagging along, and people loved that thing.
That was just
a companion that, you know, that's quite mean.
Unlike that other guy who was hired to play an American and then came back an episode or two later as a full companion, because they thought, oh,
Steven!
We just need a guy to fill the gap. They've discussed him already in plenty, though. But they had Jamie, and he's actually called Seamus. And they actually mentioned that his father's name was Donald, which I am taking this opportunity to say that he's actually got the same name as me, because my name is Seamus MacDonald, and if he's Jamie, son of Donald, then technically, patronymic surname, he's Seamus MacDonald.
Again, you are him, aren't you?
Basically. I mean...
A soft scheme.
Thank you. I mean, my dad comes from the islands of Scotland, not the Highlands, and there is a bit of a different identity between the Highlands and the islands, but, you know, close enough.
That was a good episode. That was good. And I basically approve of a historical episode with Doctor and Drag, and there's actually much about, you know, the Jacobite rebellions in it.
I was gonna say there was not much dragging of Bonnie Prince Charlie, but I meant that in the way of sort of insulting Bonnie Prince Charlie.
Yeah,
whereas if Kirsty really is Bonnie Prince Charlie, then Bonnie Prince Charlie was in drag, and therefore there was dragging of Bonnie Prince Charlie. Much.
For Bonnie Prince Charlie, drag would be, you know, actually dressing properly for battle.
Because he was a bit foppish, wasn't he?
Yeah. And he was being, you know, just subtly dragged. Is that the film that is about, and apparently there are plans to make a film about, you know, Bonnie Prince Charlie. And the actor that was supposed to play Bonnie Prince Charlie was an English guy who's never set foot in Scotland. And I thought it's just such a wonderful casting decision. And
well, it had to be.
They're just such a, you know, like a
So, not much dragging of Bonnie Prince Charlie for you, but then there was Bonnie Prince Charlie in drag, so in a way that kind of works.
Yeah, pirates, aliens, Jacobites?
Pirates, aliens, Jacobites, time travel.
Vampires.
No vampires. It needs more vampires. Just, you know, to round off everything that comes up in Doctor Who, you know. Vampires seem to come up a lot.
So overall, 2 thumbs up? Or 4 thumbs, I guess.
On this side, yeah. And then maybe take 0.5 thumb down for the Gaelic thing.
That's fair. And Ben.
3.5 thumbs. Oh, well, if you're going to take...
Oh yeah, there was a thing about Ben's accent, because they were saying, oh, he sounds like he's from London. And I was thinking, wait, hang on. Is this before or after the rhotic accent shift in London? Because basically, the theory goes that Shakespeare plays would have been performed originally in something that sounds much more like the accent that Trask was using, with all the errs in it. So Shakespeare would have sounded like a kind of a pirate, because that was the accent of London at the time. And I'm not quite sure when the accent shifted to being non-rhotic without the errs bits.
They'd just be like, you sound weird. I don't know what that accent is at all.
So they might not have identified him as London, because at that point, London may or may not have all sounded a bit like pirates still.
I'm just imagining every Shakespeare play I know, pirate delivery.
Basically, if you look up David Crystal and original pronunciation Shakespeare, you get some bits, and basically they perform some Shakespeare in sexy pirate accents.
Sexy pirate Shakespeare. Fantastic. My first thought is that for a serial that's introducing a new companion, it doesn't spend a lot of time doing that at all, which seems odd.
But I suppose if Kirsty really is Bonnie Prince Charlie, she couldn't come on as companion.
Right.
Yeah.
She had important historical shit to do. I feel like we didn't talk about enough how we mentioned that she kind of, at the beginning, is having a hard time and Polly gets onto her. From that scene on, she's a badass. The scenes with her and Polly and the Finch are excellent and fun. They are fun to watch. The Doctor is amazing in this serial. Like you said, he's very Bugs Bunny and he's just doing weird things and I like it a lot. He'll just do something, you'd be like, what is up with that? And then, you know, like later you'd be like, oh, he had a reason and it was actually kind of clever. That's so much fun to watch. It's so much fun to watch the Doctor just do weird, strange things and later be like, oh, it's fine. He has a plan, you guys. Like 90% kind of the time. Sometimes he's just being weird. And that's what's fun about it.
I kind of think that I'd like to see more of that from the Doctor. That's the kind of Doctor you like to see, where he does all this stuff and it doesn't seem to make any sense at the time. And then later you go, whoa, wait, hang on. That's what you were doing.
And ideally that's like occasionally there is something that is just weird. So that you're sitting there like, is this one of the clever things, or is this just the Doctor being the Doctor? I can't tell, and I won't be able to tell until he sees fit to, like, tell you what's going on. That's a very fun version of the Doctor, and I'm enjoying it immensely.
Yeah, I like this a lot. It's further establishing the Second Doctor, and just all of his wacky hijinks is fantastic. This serial in general was pretty funny overall, and I enjoy the more comedic ones, so. Loses steam a bit in the last episode because it's mostly fighting and stuff that I don't know what's happening. That's not its fault.
I'm sure it was a battle of epic proportions with special effects that would have, you know, melted your brain.
And I am willing to believe that. I doubt it was just people badly wrestling.
With their shirts off on a pirate ship.
But yeah, I know. I really like it. I don't have a handle at all on Jamie yet. Like, so I'm excited to see more of him so I can get more of all of them.
He is, it seems, fairly a beloved character.
I don't think they were originally planning on him being a companion. Like, this was sort of a test run. If we like him, we'll hire him as a companion. I think I read that on Wikipedia. But if you're going to do that, maybe write him some more stuff to do.
Even if it's kind of your plan, give him a scene at least. I mean, and to be fair, he does...
He pushes Trask over the boat. But we didn't see that.
But there's no dialogue in that scene, so...
Yeah, right. we don't see it.
We don't know that it happened, really. They can tell us it happened.
But again, that's not the show's fault that it got deleted. This is the first episode where I felt like Polly had stuff to do, and it was good. Ben actually did something that I enjoyed.
He did a thing.
Even though I still don't like him. But yeah, overall, I enjoyed it. I'm really liking 2. It makes me really sad that so much of it doesn't exist. So much of 2. But
I really thought, and I know I said this last episode, but it still surprises me. I really thought there would be, like, a couple of serials before I stopped being like, oh, this isn't one. I miss William Hartnell. But I, like, immediately was like, alright, let's go!
Let's do more Troughton.
This is fun!
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it immensely.
This is what I do at the end of every episode with the guests. How would you do this serial if it was New Who?
Are we going by, it's New Who, therefore it has to be aliens? And therefore Bonnie Prince Charlie is an alien in drag?
There doesn't have to be aliens!
But yes. Because
that's my initial thought. Rusty Davis and Stephen Moffat would, you know, they'd go, right, okay, so what are we going to do? We've got Bonnie Prince Charlie. Yeah, I mean, I can imagine both of them doing that. You know, Bonnie Prince Charlie, he's an alien. If we're not going with Kirsty as Bonnie Prince Charlie, then I would bring her in line with the statistically more likely character for a Highland woman of this time, and sort of have her the one taking charge of Polly from the get-go, and, you know, making plans and stuff. And they can work together on, you know, bringing down Finch and blackmailing him, you know, from the outset. That storyline works. I just have Kirsty be a bit more Highland. The Laird was pretty apathetic, so he actually kind of fits the Highland men of the time thing. Also, he was a Laird. They went out of favour quite soon after this, when they sold all their land and sold out their people for sheep. So, I mean, he was pretty apathetic. I'd keep him fairly useless throughout the whole thing. Maybe give Jamie a few more scenes as well.
Just a few more scenes to be completely clueless in.
Yeah, without Jamie, nice and clueless, but, you know, helpful and eager to find out new things. Obviously, I'd put more Gaelic in it and sort of say, oh yes, the TARDIS translator is on the blink today. You'll just have to learn some Gaelic. Then we'll have Gaelic on the screen and encourage people to learn Gaelic because, you know, yeah, that's my thing.
See, that would have for you who... Because that would be Peter Capaldi. And we were reading about the audio stories. And apparently, well, TARDIS Vika said that it's mentioned somewhere that the Glaswegians, as a whole, fought against the Jacobites.
The Glaswegians, yeah.
The Glaswegians. Just the Glaswegians.
Whole of Glasgow.
Yes. So I can imagine Jamie, you know, really despising the Doctor. and then, you know, I would have the story being a nice historical, actually, things. And then I would have the 12th Doctor playing bagpipes. And, you know, Jamie with his guitar.
Jamie playing the bagpipes and the Doctor on guitar. Yes. Uh-huh. Also, the wiki said the Glaswegians fought against, and, you know, they fought against someone, so they weren't on the side of the Jacobites. But the sentence, the Glaswegians fought on the side of, that's leading into something that isn't a sentence. The sentence is just, the Glaswegians fought. Full stop. You know, you can't unite Glaswegians on a side. They just fight. you know, with Strax and New Who going up to Glasgow to fight. So you just have the stereotype about Glaswegians. They'll fight, but, you know, You can't get them all on the one side. For the how you would do it, and you would have it with Peter Capaldi, and then you'd think that because they're both Scottish, that the Doctor and Jamie would get along.
I'd like the Doctor to really expect to be, welcomed there.
But because Jamie knows that people from Glasgow didn't support Bonnie Prince Charlie, Jamie hates the Doctor's guts.
So do you guys have anything you want to plug?
You can find me at Thinking in Gallifreyan on Tumblr. And I mentioned the thing with the seal of, you mentioned the seal of approval of Seamus earlier. Well, I've got a kind of signet ring thing of Rassilon, the Ring of Rassilon, which I made, and it could be 3D printed for people if they order it from the website called Shapeways. You can find that on there if you search for Shapeways in your browser, and then you go to the browser and you search for Ring of Rassilon or Doctor Who, and you scroll down and you have to look for it. But then you too can stamp the seal of approval of Rassilon onto anything you choose fit. That's the seal of approval of Rassilon, and it can be stamped on things.
It's my birthday soon.
Actually, by the time this goes up, it'll probably already be past your birthday. Maybe you already have it.
Sorry, I'm singing Gaelic to you, and happy birthday.
We don't have the rights for that.
Well, it's in Gaelic, so there.
Well, I want to thank you guys for being on the show. I feel immense. I feel much smarter than I started.
I feel a bit smarter as well. Still pretty stupid.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Maybe I phrased it wrong. I feel less stupid.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for being on.
Well, you're very welcome. It has been fun. And thank you for asking us. And thank you for asking me. And then...
Thanks for paying me, I suppose. You're giving a chance.
You just snuck an extra guest in there for you.
We are totally cool with that.
Yeah, it worked out great, I think.
Thanks for listening. If you like us, go to washyourassalon.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @WatchYourAss. If you like the episodes and want to help us out, you can go to watchyourassalon.com/support. And there's a link to our Patreon there, which you can just get to by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And then there's like all sorts of cool rewards and stuff there. And
also sponsor an episode, which we will say that you sponsored the episode. We'll give your name. All you have to do is buy the DVD of the episode so that we can watch it.
Yeah, because Hulu took them all down. Please like us or whatever you do on iTunes. Whatever you do on iTunes that says, hey, good job. Like, rate and review.
Yes,
I don't know.
Leave a review on iTunes.
Leave a review on iTunes. That says, those podcasts you do are the good. Maybe word it better.
No, yeah. Just leave a review that says, hey, this podcast is the good.
Is the good. And that's it. We'll be back next time for the Underwater Menace. I don't think we have any guests on that. Just us.
Yeah, you and me. That's it.
And I'm excited about that because it's the first one with existing episodes. But we'll see you then. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Say bye in Gaelic.
Chiri and Thrasta.
Woo!
Once aboard the Annabelle, that's the only way you'll get off her. Straight downwards.